And when it's going to clear out obstructions in the front, that's going to be any abdominal, whether it's intestinal or reproductive. And I suspect it's also going to be working on chong. So whatever you're thinking of using chong for, there's governor vessel one again. But I don't just use that. I might have, if I think it's a spinal problem, I've stuck in small intestine three to be a bit more directional about it. And then I put in governor vessel one, and I might have done a lot of massage first and mocks and needles on any of the sore points that are coming up here. If I think the person's needing it more because of an abdominal problem, they might have that in conjunction with maybe I put spleen 4 in first and then I put governor vessel 1. And the other thing is gallbladder 30. I think there are internal branches, like there's a whole plexus in the pelvic area, and you could imagine the conception, governor and chong starting somewhere between the kidneys and going through the uterine and the prostate area through down the vagina and out the perineum, and they all send branches up the spine and up the front. It's not just the do that's going up the back, it's the ren sends a branch up the spine and chong sends a branch up the spine, and they all send branches up the front as well. And then you've got this plexus of CV1, GV1, gallbladder 30 and stomach 30, and you know, that's like the pivot of the rest of the body. And I think you're going to have to become very good at needling all of those points, because that's like clears out the obstructions. And sometime later in the track, you might put in the master point, which is gallbladder 41. And that's what I say, look, alternate treatments. You might think, right, I'm going to clear out chung, I'm going to clear out dai, I'm going to clear out du. And you're not coupling anything, but you're using the master points and you're using massage in appropriate points and maybe ear points as well. Governor vessel 1. Obviously, it's still going to be useful for your hemorrhoids and everything else, but it's also very good for clearing out people's empty, fuzzy heads. Now, you might be putting that one in, then using those four points around governor vessel 20, four gentleman points, and be threading them as well as putting the governor vessel 1 in. And at the same time, you might be putting in governor vessel 16. So there's lots of alternatives besides attacking liver yang and trying to build up kidney yin. You're going to be doing that, but you're not doing it from this lower level, which is your 12 main. You're doing it from the supervisory level. And if you fill them up convincingly, then the others will sort themselves out. Oh, yes. Well, you see, that's another problem. There's not much point in going in unless you're going to do 1.5 inches. So you've got to get really good at this, okay? You're going to put it in. Now, usually you get them lying on their side, and they're usually lying on their side with the top leg sort of up and over there slightly. And I usually have a pillow under one of their legs. And I usually put a towel over them because it sort of gives you the illusion that you're not completely exposed, even though it's silly because you've got your bum poking out and your pants down. But it's like when you go to a doctor and you're a woman and they're fiddling around in there. They always put a sheet over you. Now, that is crazy, but they always do it. And I think... Did you? Yeah, well, it's the same sort of idea. So you put something on them, and then you can just cover them later. And it's a matter, again, here we go, hygiene. You stick your finger in, and if it hurts, well, then you're definitely going to have to do it. And a lot of us have fallen on our coccyx at some stage. And I know mine was broken and set in a funny position. And so from then on, after it healed, which was years, whenever I sat for a long period in the car, or I sat back a bit, I was in agony for
cross and flurry,
because it just wasn't right, which also explains why the first birth was a bit traumatic, because I'm sure it was when it was supposed to be down a bit further. Okay, now that sort of problem can be fixed just by putting in governor vessel 1, and obviously if somebody's just broken their coccyx or just fallen on the base of their spine, for God's sake, they're not going to like it. And again, maybe you're going to put in small intestine 3 in first, because you're going to want to uncontaminate the governor vessel, then you put in governor vessel 1. If it's sore, you definitely need to put it in. I don't know what you can do. You just have to have a good technique, right? You know, I'm not going to say you need... Of course, you're going to use new needles, and you're just going to have to whip it in. Hopefully, you're going to have a needle sensation as soon as it's in. Now, if I don't fiddle around down there, so if I haven't got it first off, I think, shit. So then I come up, and I because they're not going to be happy about me fiddling around, so I get up, there's the cheeks, and there's governor vessel 1, and I get up just a bit before you get to governor vessel 2, and I massage like hang, and probably the sensation of everything being massaged gets it going. And I would say, if nothing happens still, then you put in gallbladder 30, you know, press around and you've got this opened up joint and you might find two or three and you put in 3-inch needles, you don't muck around with little ones, and then you stimulate them and you might moxa them, and that'll probably have the same effect, particularly if you then put needles in governor vessel 3 and 4 and maybe moxa them too, because the whole thing's to deobstruct and you're wanting to get in later on, and this is again for the person who's all clogged up, maybe from infertility, you want to deobstruct all of this stuff here because that'll have ramifications on the front.
Do you ever use
laser? No. It's not, I haven't got any thoughts for or against, I just don't have one, don't use it. It hurts too much. Yes, I do, and it does a wonderful job, but generally it hurts too much. I mean, at the moment, I'm using it on one patient every time he comes in to clear out his nasal polyps, and it's having a spectacular, I don't know what it is, because, I mean, he's getting bladder 4 and 7, which are very good for noses, and one threaded and yin tang, and he gets poor bugger. I never give anybody colon 4, and he's 20, and he's getting them threaded up, and but he doesn't want the operations, okay? And after 6 treatments, his nose is a lot better and he's not snoring nearly as loudly. And he's committed and he doesn't like it, but he does like the results. So that poor thing's getting that there. But I usually only use that to people who are fitting, like my daughter. And that definitely has an effect of bringing consciousness. Even when she's having an epileptic fit and she stopped breathing the last 2 times, before I got the Valium rectally, I put this one in and that restored the breathing. And she looked better, although she's still fitting like hell, and then everything else happened. And it's very good for back problems, acute back problems. But again, you have to have a whole bunch of people around because you've probably got the person standing up or sitting up because you want them to move around. You stick this and kaboom, they're out like a light. Well, you don't treat people sitting up because they do this. And I've had that happen with an acute back sprain, and I did want to use that. And so I was using it for the acute back sprain, and I was also using it to revive him. But he you know, went all funny colours and oily sweats and all the rest of it. It's, you know, it's a bit of a strong point. But you use it because it's a strong point. I also saved my ex-husband from dying of an asthma attack by using that point, and that was very interesting because he was over the phone. He doesn't remember ringing up. He doesn't remember 4 hours of his life. And we got there, and you know, we supported. And he was doing the full-on thing of the yellow and the grey and the oily sweat on the head, and then his eyes would roll back, and that'd be it. And I think, you bastard, and I'd. Because he was going to leave a young son, and I thought, how dare he? And so I only had 1/2-inch needles. There was no mucking around looking for Ding Chuan's. I just got in the governor vessel 26 and got stuck in, and then his eyes had come back again, and he'd be right again. He'd coming and going and coming and going, and I don't know, this happened about 10 times before the ambulance got there, and governor vessel 26 saved him. It didn't help his asthma, but it brought his consciousness back again. Okay, it's a very good point for that. He doesn't remember. They didn't expect him to live when they got him to the hospital. They weren't in a rush like they are in television. They were just absolutely not in a rush. They didn't even have ventilation. But they came up the stairs and wanted to take his pulse and his blood pressure. They weren't. You know, I've never seen such a laid back. So, you know, I imagine a safety thing would do. You know, if you're caught in a situation like that, I'm not sure that a fingernail would do, but I know damn well. I put it in and I thread it up towards governor vessel 28. I don't muck around. It's going to go in. It's going to go right up. And I get see. So as I said, I'd rather put in at the other end of the meridian, because if I'm going to do that one, I do a good job. And just whilst we're on the topic of just under there, in case you're not aware of it, that's nice. There's governor vessel 26. There's also Ding Shen. See, that's a third down. And another third down, there's another one called Ding Shen. So if you've got somebody who's really freaked out and in the process of dying or having a fit, you put them both in. You might as well, you're just in the area, pretty traumatised as well. But it's useful to sort of find some of these special points, and that they're near other points you use all the time, and you can just bung them in, you see, because they have much added value. Okay, so I think probably you've got by now that governor vessel 1, don't muck around with it. It's a very good point. Get stuck in and use it. Because it deobstructs the governor vessel, it deobstructs the conception vessel, it deobstructs the chong, and particularly if you're going to be putting in, so you're not going to put in conception vessel 1. You might be fiddling around with your gallbladder 30, and when you've got them rolling on their back, then you're going to be doing something with your stomach 30 as well. Oh, yeah, I suppose I would if I had them. I've got finger cots because I still do people's noses, so occasionally, but it's just as easy just to go in and then go and wash my hands and come back again. So that's what I do. Now, going back to the governor vessel, when might you use the governor vessel? I've talked about back problems, deobstructing them. I've talked about neck. Now we've got to talk about the head. We've got to talk about the head and the brain. Now, I'm not going to get you to write down the pathways, but they've got good pathways in the comprehensive text, and I've written it out in my book. There are actually four pathways of the governor vessel. So if you shut your eyes and just visualise where the governor vessel is going to go, because it's important that you know the pathway to then understand the symptoms somebody's got and the treatments you might give them. So the first pathway is, they've said, originated from the perineum and ascends up mid-spine. So that's the one you're used to with the acupuncture points on. The second pathway is starting in the pelvic region internally, so that could be between your kidneys, going through the internal genital areas, coming out to the perineum, up to the tip of the coccyx, then over to the gluteal areas where it's going to connect to the kidney and bladder channels, then returning to the spinal column and joins the kidney organ. Okay, so forget about governor vessel 1 to 28. Yep, that's only one of four. Then you've got this other one that's ducking around the place. Then you've got a third one which is going to originate in bladder 1 with the bladder channel. And both branches are going to cross over at the forehead, go to the vertex, and then go back into the brain. So we've got governor vessel 20 and 26, both very important points for brains. Then at the lower end of the nape of the neck, it's going to divide into two, going down to the spine to the waist and joining the kidney organ. It's another branch of the governor vessel. And then the fourth branch is going to start in the lower abdomen, directly across the navel, go up to the heart, the trachea, up the mouth, up to the cheek, up to stomach 1. Okay? You probably hadn't ever paid attention to what the governor vessel does. There are four distinct branches. And that's before we get to the idea of one of these books that I found today, which is in here, where they were saying that the actual main meridian went up the front and a branch went up the back. And that's the one that we think is the important one because it's got the numbers attached to it. Okay, so when might we use governor vessel points? Any treatment, I'd say, you use governor vessel points as a meridian, not as a meridian. When I first treat people, I get them to lie, you know, after I've looked at the tongue and had a yarn to them about this and that and pressed sore mood points, which I think are vital, to work out what organs and what the state of the energy is, and I've taken their pulse, okay, bang, they go on their front, and now I massage. But in part of that massage, I usually start down, actually, go all the way down the governor vessel. If there's any sore points, if there's a whole bunch of them, maybe I'll cup up and down the spine, or maybe I'll just bung in a whole lot of needles. If it's indicated, if they're yang deficient and if it's relative to an area they need a lot of energy put in, and then I might bung a whole lot of moxa on needles and off we go, because it's obstruction, see? And unless we clear out the obstruction, we can fiddle around with the main points forever and a day. But I was taught by a chiropractor. Dr. Van Buren was an osteopath before he was an acupuncturist. They both John Veltheim and Dick Van Buren knew what they were doing with body first, they're structural. And the major structure of our body is our spine. And as chiropractors will tell you, if something's a bit out, well then the nerve supply, the blood supply, obviously the chi supply, isn't going to go where it ought to go properly. So therefore we have to correct that first. So it's a very rare patient that I don't attack the back first on. It's whether they got backaches or not, it's neither here nor there. I have to correct the imbalances first. Okay, so then if they have a back problem, and they've actually come in for a back problem, then you might be putting in either bladder 62 or small intestine 3. But you'd be surprised at what you can clear out just by clearing out the governor channel and bridging all their scars. And then what's left? You see, you've cleared out the major obstructions, and unfortunately, just branching off into scars, none of these texts talk about scars. Now, when you think about it, if you've got, I don't know, you might have too much energy or not enough energy in an acupuncture point, why is this? So we can go on forever about, you know, five elements and all the rest of it, but it might just be that they dong their finger. And the energy ain't functioning. And all you have to do is put untold needles around there and the energy will come back again. Now, you have to explain what you're doing to patients. It's always useful to have, you know, your laminated charts on the wall so you can say, look, you've got a problem here. You've got your hysterectomy scar across there. You've got left sexual functioning and feeling, and the scar feels awful. You can't bear anybody touch it. yes, you have got heart problems now, but we're going to work on the scar because a lot of problems happened as a result of that scar and it hasn't healed. It's not all connected. And as I've explained, you've got the chung, the ren and the du all fiddling around with internal branches up here and up the back. They're both going to go to the brain, of course, without getting into deficient yin or insubstantial phlegm. You're going to have disturbances in thinking because the qi and the blood and the yin aren't able to get to where they ought to because there's been a disconnection. Now, maybe it's because there weren't surgical operations to the extent that there are now, back when classics were written. Maybe it's there wasn't the antibiotics and so forth. So if you're shot to goodness in a war or something, you tended to die. But we tend to be rescued in acute traumatic situations, and we're left both with the psychic stuff to deal with, but also the physical stuff to deal with. And that's all sitting there, clogging up the works. And here we are, somebody says they've got a problem, be it headaches or whatever. I feel unless we don't address the problem, as in what's stuck in the body, how can the energy flow properly? Now, you know, you can go into other body workers, be they Reiki therapists or whoever, and they're going to tell you, oh yes, and I don't know if any of you have seen it happen. Somebody just lying there, minding their own business and like rebirthing, just breathing quietly in and out, and somebody touches them on one muscle and kaboom! All hell breaks loose because they remember something from the subconscious that they didn't know about. And they relive something that I presume they went through in this life, but it might be from a past life also. So we've got all this stuff stored in our body, and here we are just saying, well, we'll just connect up these energy points. Well, that's a bit foolish because there's a lot of other things that have happened to people which is still stuck in the physical and also in the energy. And so that's why I say you start on the back. Well, I start on the back and I see which ones are stored, because if it's sore, it's obstructed. That means things aren't going to work properly. And once I've done that, several treatments down the track, then I'll start looking at what they say they come in for. But I don't see a lot of point in starting in on their symptom, because their symptom came from all sorts of other things first. So I'll go back and clean out as much as I can, which again, is, as I say, maybe that's why Dr. Van Buren said after the fifth treatment, then you might couple. Okay, but you've done an awful lot of house cleaning before you get to the coupling. And at the fifth treatment, you might still be just sedating the relevant master point. Now, this business of sedating master points and then using ancillary points is very well explained in this book. You really ought to get one. And in it, they'll just have lists and lists of treatments. Probably easier to find in my book, actually. And they'll say, for example, I've just picked up chung, so I'll deal with chung. And there's 35 different occasions that you might be sedating small intestine 4. And they might be cardiac disorders, they might be diaphragmatic problems, abdominal swelling, pain in the hypochondria, dysentery, heart pain, diseases of hot cold, there's any number of them, jaundices, all sorts of dysmenorrhea and so forth, all from sedating spleen 4 and using relevant ancillary points. And there's just lists and lists of symptoms in there, which are also in this book, of options. So that again is not using it as an extra meridian to couple, but starting off realizing that this perverse energy is probably trapped in there, and how can you go about shifting it by accessing, by tapping the master point, and then also getting them to visualize, and you massaging and maybe moxering and so forth. So we're still on Dumo. When else might you use Dumo? When somebody is having epileptic fits, when somebody has incomplete maturation of the brain. Now, you probably haven't come upon a lot of these because parents don't know to go to acupuncturists. That doesn't mean there aren't a hoard of them out there, including children with autism and, you know, cerebral palsy, all sorts of things, including Down syndrome. There is absolutely no reason why you shouldn't be working with these children, except they don't get presented to you. You can do a great deal working with damaged children, and you wouldn't necessarily be sedating small intestine 3 there. You would be more going back to, okay, I have to build it up. And in building it up, you may or may not use governor vessel 1, but by goodness, you'd be restoring the circulation up here, and you'd be building up the points up the front, because as I wrote on the board before, granted we've got a Shen, but then underneath that I'd say you've got your 8 extras, and then you've got your 12 main, which then have handmaidens, okay? So you're going to have to go back here, because this is the way the kidney chi does everything. And one of the ancestral organs is the brain. You could also say the bone marrow. Now, hormonally, I know these children, even if they were genetically okay, if they have an insult to their development early on, they're not going to grow properly. the heads aren't necessarily going to grow properly. Their growth is going to be stunted generally. They won't have a digestion that's working properly, because it's not just talking and thinking and everything that's upset. It's everything. The central computer's out. But you can change reality for these small children, just as you can change reality from the head-injured people and from those who've had coma from whatever reason, by not taking on board the Western idea that it's neurological, it's stuff, but you think, okay, what's stopping its function? We've got insubstantial phlegm, probably. We've also got stuck chi and blood, and how are we going to shift them? And in the case of a developmental kid, probably the jing wasn't so good, and you have to build up everything if the jing's not so good, and you'll attack it. But you'll attack it not from a 12 main, that's foolish, because these ones here supervise, link, and regulate the chi in these ones. You'll go up to this step, not to couple them, but to use points on the meridian. And of course, I think it would help if you used ear points, you know, like as you're targeting an area in the body, you use the relevant points on the ear as well. Sorry, well, we'll go Merv first thing. Oh, look, it would depend entirely on the person. And I know when I've watched, Catherine's only, she hasn't had a lot of fits, but when she's in hospital dying of the original viral encephalitis, when I started to massage acupuncture points, it got worse. And I think it was any stimulation would have made it worse. But that was an acute febrile catastrophe. The average person who's stable, who accidentally has a fit, well, God, there's any number of reasons. And you've also got to think now, is that fit necessarily bad? See, we judge. Anything that's out of the norm is therefore bad because we've induced it. Maybe, you know, I've had a lot to do with fits now, maybe having that fit clears out the debris, like all the cobwebs have gone now, and now they're a damn sight clearer once they've had it. I don't think if you have somebody having a fit on the couch, you think, oh, what a good idea, but you don't necessarily have to go to the negative. And maybe it would, particularly if you've got somebody who's got shunts in their head. And I don't know if anyone's treated people with shunts in their heads from having massive CVAs and being rescued by doctors and so forth, but this gets tricky because I treated somebody with four of them in her head and she was having tremendous headaches, okay, but she started off with liver yang rising, insufficient kidney yin, and an alcoholic and a really stressful marriage and, you know, untold tranquilizers and all the rest of it. So then she had a massive kerfuffle in her brain and they spent 4 or 6 hours saving her and they put all these shunts in, and, you know, several years down the track she was still drinking alcohol and her daughter brought her in. And I thought, oh, okay, right. So I did whatever I did that I thought was... And she got a horrendous headache on the couch, and I thought, when you have other things up your sleeve, polarity book, you know, your healing hands, one hand on the head, one hand on the abdomen, and it charged through me like you wouldn't believe. And I thought, shit, because this was in the days I didn't really believe in energy, but it happened anyway. I whipped the needles out, and I just put my hands on, and it all happened through me. Okay, so I think it's a good idea if you do Reiki or whatever else, because there are times when you start a process that in good faith you had nothing to do with, and what are you going to do? And, you know, in the case of somebody with hunks of metal or plastic in their head, and everything starts to normalise, because that's what the acupuncture is about, it might need reversing in a hurry, or maybe, you know, I don't know. So that's why I say, look, it's a good idea to have insurance, so whenever I'm moxing, I put cooling points in. Whenever I'm using most things on people, I've got rescue remedy right there where I can see it. So, you know, if somebody gets burnt or they freak out or whatever, I've got whatever I'm going to need right there. And being able to use your hands is a good start, because you can always whip the needles out and you're still doing something and you're looking totally in control. There's no way that you're going to freak out. So that's always... So, you know, it might bring on a fit. I don't know. It depends what you call a shen point. No, because I think when you do anything, you're working on the shen, as a sort of a short answer. I know a lot of people might put in Governor Vessel 20 before they start doing anything. This is silly, because if you know more about channel energetics, you're crossing over perverse chi from one divergent to the other, which may not be a good idea. It might be that it's full moon and you're going to be draining them. You know, it's a good idea to have sort of an understanding of what else is going on. Some people put Shen Men in before they start on anything. Other people put Heart 7 and leave them and go away. Some people put Liver 3 and Colon 4. You know, we've all got our sort of ways of going about things. And the short answer is, I think when you do anything to anybody, you're going to affect their Shen, even if you don't touch them with a needle. And if you just, you know, like in me just talking to you, I'm changing what your Shen's got. Okay, because it's a Shen-to-Shen experience first, and I think we miss that in being therapists. We think we have to do something to get paid, but by them coming and just sitting and maybe listening or maybe just talking, we may not even have touched them. We've done a great deal because we've given to them something that they haven't been able to get from somewhere else. So, you know, what's a Shen point? Just holding their hand or giving them a cuddle while they're crying about something, that might be more useful than sticking in 10,000 needles, you see. Anyway, going back to the governor vessel, it is indicated in epilepsy, as are the chow. Now, they're the three major ones for epilepsy. It's difficult dealing with epilepsy because people are usually medicated. If they are medicated, how are you going to tell what the pulse is doing? How are you going to tell what the tongue's doing? Don't know. And asking them how they were and how the fits were when they started is tricky because they have been changed by the medication. And so what you have to do is treat exactly what you see right now. Okay, they've got medication on board, so don't worry about it. You treat what's happening. And even if it looks contradictory, you have to work out what's happening and treat that. And I tend to find the tongue's easier to diagnose than the pulse. So I tend to go more with the changes on the tongue than the pulse. Because I use a lot of moxa, and moxa and massage definitely change the tongue around a great deal. Governor vessel is also indicated if you get any external pathogen coming in. So I did say that we had yang wei, and that was external pathogen, but so is du. Okay, so then you might be not so much sedating small intestine 3. I think if you do that, you'll send it in further. I think you're more likely to go directly to where all the yang are congregating and where your wind, cold and so forth do tend to come in. And you might be sedating your governor vessel 14 and then tonifying it. Or you might be putting a needle on and cupping it. Or, you know, you could do all sorts of interesting things around that area. And you may or may not choose to sedate small intestine 3 as opposed to 3 heater 5. And I think maybe you'd go to the 3 heater 5 because of more actions of points. But then if they had more of a neck problem, well, then I'd probably go to that one because that has a specialised function for the neck. That's probably done it for governor vessel. Has anyone got any questions or thoughts on the governor vessel? Yeah, well, with MS, you've got to remember that the spinal cord is just like bone marrow. So you stop thinking brain. And so you've got to go back to the symptoms, and that's you treat them like a Way syndrome, which is that you're wasting and all the rest of it. And yeah, you do pay attention to your Western stuff. This is happening in the brain, but you'd more go to the symptoms. And I'd say you develop a, like I do this with my brain-injured kids, I develop a schedule of what I'm going to do, all other things being equal, you know, like they're not going to go off and get constipation or a cold or something. And I'd say I have a general idea that maybe like they have in the Chinese books, oops, you have, you know, two sets of points. You go from one set to the other. But I'm saying you're going to be a lot more sensible than that or specific than that. And you might say for the first treatment, you might be going to clear insubstantial phlegm. Because after all, if you've got any form of dysfunction neurologically, it's looking like insubstantial phlegm. You might also see wind in there. But you're going to have an aspect of insubstantial phlegm because they can't feel it properly. They can't move it properly, their senses aren't working properly, and maybe they're not thinking properly, so that's insubstantial phlegm. So you might be devoting a treatment to doing that, and at the same time, you might be tonifying the spleen. This is TCM. You don't have to stay in TCM, but I think we've all got TCM as a common ground, so I'll use that one. And that's the first treatment. And then the second time they come around, you're going to use specific brain points, and there's heaps of them. You know, you can go through the Shanghai text, or you can get a special book, which Royston Lowe put out with a green cover and that bronze man on the front, and he's broken them all down into areas of the body. And look, brain points. Like there's a specific point just out from stomach 41, which is for the incomplete maturation of the cerebral cortex due to infantile encephalitis. It's actually idiocy due to da-da-da. That's what my daughter's got. I mean, there are extra points that are absolutely specific. There are special brain points all over the body, and it's useful to, you know, in a spare moment, do a card index system or something so you can do super-duper treatments. Super-duper treatments happen because you've got the resources. They're there in the books, but you've actually got to make them so you can utilise them. So you might be using brain points, and they might look, there's a whole bunch of points out from Governor Vessel 14 all around here to work on brain injury. And don't say it's not needed. There's nursing hostels full of people who are vegetative. So you might also be on that treatment, you might be threading different areas down there, or you might be using all the brain points in the ear. And as it's a brain, you're also going to be using gallbladder 39, and you might be doing a lot of MOXRA on that, because that's the influential point for the bone marrow. And just as a side issue, you might also be putting in bladder 11. And, there's a whole bunch of things that you might do, and you just call that a brain treatment, okay? So you've had an insubstantial phlegm treatment, and now you're going to have a brain treatment. Then after that, you think, okay, probably zero. You've tonified the middle heater. I don't think you can get past tonifying the middle heater. You've got to have something to work on first, okay? And then you might think, okay, today I'm going to attack the Jing. And so you're going to build up the blood as well. Now, there's a special Jing point just harvest on out from... There's Governor Vessel 4, there's bladder 23, there's bladder 52. Then half a ton out from that is a special Jing point. So you're going to bung that one in. But you might be tonifying the kidneys at the same time. And you might choose not only to use them with MOXA and or needles, but you might think, how am I going to tonify the Jing today? And you'll come up with maybe, again, going back to tonifying the middle heater, but you might also do something specific for Jings, which again might be going into the 8 extras, and you might be using small intestine 3 because it's the master point and that's going to help it all flow once you've got it moving. Okay, so you're going to be more creative. And then you might go back from building up the Jing to maybe you might do some clear channels because maybe they had a gigantic knock on the head as their head caved in because the truck hit them or something. Okay, so then you might be working locally on what actually caused the problem plus air points. And I guess you might be using a master point, a relevant master point then too, and then you'll go back up here and start again tonifying the middle heater and give them a good boost up. And then you might do that in any order. But we'll wait until we get on to Chong and Ren. Think a bit more creatively about what you're doing, and you can see that the Chinese books say, you know, you alternate this group and that group and this group. Well, I'm sure they're doing that for research purposes. But you can take the point that you've got to have a generalised idea. You don't have to start from scratch every time that patient walks in, particularly if you're taking them on board like a charity case for them, but more like a learning case for you, and you are going to see them every day, and your practice can support several learning patients for you because that's going to make it more interesting. And you've got a general idea. That doesn't mean you religiously do the same thing. But it means if all of a sudden they've got a wind chill or something, we'll suspend that and go off and treat the wind chill, obviously. But you'll have a generalised idea, and that might be going on twice a day if you're treating a brain-injured kid indefinitely. And that will build it up substantially. Because you can change that, because children are unfinished, and I think when you get into the neurological damage, they revert back almost like a child again, and you're going to have to grow them again from the beginning. And how do we grow from the beginning? We crawl, we sit up, we walk, we run. So you take them back to the beginning. And this is the Doman program that I've done with my daughter. You start at the beginning. We start at the beginning. How would you treat a baby? By building up its middle heater and being very cautious about what goes in its mouth. And then gradually getting the chi and the blood to come out from the center, out to the external areas. And we might use point percussion in that because point percussion works spectacularly. Does anybody not know how to do point percussion? Yeah, well, I'll just show you briefly later because I must say I've sort of damaged one of my fingers rather, but it's a qigong thing like that. But it's more in the up than the down. So you've got to actually experience it. It's a chicken picking, but it's just wonderful. You know how you've almost fixed up somebody's neck and not quite. Ah, not a problem. Bang, 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 bang. Then just clear out all the debris. And, look at that. Well, you see, this is what I do. I've treated them, however, and it's still a bit no good, not a problem. I've still got Dr. Shen's stuff up my sleeve. So then I sit them up. The only time I treat people sitting up, except when they're pregnant, bang in small intestine 3, stimulate that, get them to move their neck, both directions slower than that, get them to move their shoulders, like so. Then they sort of do a general sort of like so, and it's sort of like giving themselves a general chiropractic treatment, but you've specified what you want it to do. That's more for the neck. If it's still not much good, okay, well, then you can put in gallbladder 34 because that's the, you know, influential point for the muscles and tendons, and you twiddle that and you get them to do the same thing. Look, it will release. You've done all the massage and the moxa and the other needles. It will release whatever it is. And if it's still a bit there, you think, oh, not a problem, leave those needles and come around the back and go bang, 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 bang. And maybe you've put in some lavender oil to help the muscles calm down, or maybe a Chinese bone-setting liniment or something. And you do that, and you, as I said, you wipe it all down again. Come back there, how's that? If there's still a bit left, okay, attack those needles again. They should be right now. And so they should. They've probably had a good hour's worth of work done. But that's, you know, then you can charge more because you're being a damn sight more effective, and you'll have more people coming in. And you won't be getting bored wondering what to do next, you see. So you're still using eight extras, but you're not. I haven't coupled this, you know, I still haven't talked about coupling Dumo. Now, I have got incidents of coupling that in the book. Okay, so should we go move on to Ren? Yes? Okay. Well, when we look at Ren again, I suppose you all thought it just went up the front. I think Ren's probably one of the most important ones, because it's got all these very useful points. I mean, probably every one of them, I think, is incredibly useful. So the areas, if you're going to talk about areas that Renmo control, the lower abdomen, the thorax, chest area, the throat, and the face. Also the nose. The nose is very important. Lung 7, as the master point, now you could say it's the low point of the lungs, I know, but it's also the master point of Renmo. And so got a nasal connection. So there's the areas that it has things to do with. Now, pathways, I'm not sure that I've actually, oh yes. Okay, as far as pathways are concerned, we've got two major ones. One arises